Listening Library presents Little Monsters by Kara Thomas. Read for you by Phoebe Stroll and Brittany Presley. Chapter 1. They fire off a round of texts at me 5 minutes after midnight. We're coming. Get ready. They're not threats, but my friends have a way of making even the simplest demands feel like ultimatums. Sneak out. I don't have a choice. If I say no, they'll make sure I'm fully aware of how much fun they had without me. But then again, it's cold, and not the normal kind of cold. It's Broken Falls, Wisconsin, dead of winter cold. No one warned me about the winters before I moved here. The books and movies are right that Christmas in Wisconsin is magical, with the barns glowing under white string lights, fresh-cut Christmas trees visible through scalloped windows. But everything that comes after is just cruel. Wind-whipped sheets of snow so thick you can't move through them. Mornings where above freezing is the best thing you'll hear all day. Layers of ice on your windshield that take ages to chip off. And February. February is just the biggest asshole. February makes you feel like you'll never see the sun again. My plan was to go to bed early and avoid the inevitable texts from Bailey and Jade. Are you up? You better be up. My friend's restlessness is in direct proportion to how miserable and gray it is outside. Tonight, though, tonight is so clear you can count the stars like they're diamonds. I text back, "Guys, I'm so tired." Sad face. Bailey, "Stop." Bailey, "We're doing the thing tonight." The skin on the back of my neck pricks. The thing. The thing was Bailey's idea. Almost everything is Bailey's idea. I take a deep breath to slow my suddenly skittish heart. I could call them, tell them I'm not coming, but they'll just make fun of me for being scared. They're shuffling outside my bedroom door. The lamp on my nightstand is on. My stepmom, probably, coming to scold me for being up so late. Casey? A tiny voice. Definitely not Ashley, whose voice carries over hill and sea. My stepmom's constantly talking, sucking up all the air so my half-sister can barely get a word in. I fire off another text to Bailey. "I can't come. Sorry." "You can come in," I say. Lauren pokes her head inside the room. She reminds me of a doll. Dark, blunt bangs. Porcelain skin. Round head, a little too big for her body. We have the same eyes. Wide hazel ones that prompted a particularly nasty freshman at my old high school to call me that freaky Bambi bitch. I fluff out the comforter to make room for Lauren to crawl underneath with me. "You okay?" Lauren hugs her knees. She's wearing fleece sock monkey pajamas. There's something about my sister that makes her seem younger than most kids her age. She still cries when she falls off her bike and bleeds. Tonight, there's a raw pink strip over her upper lip from the cold. "Keely is texting me pictures from Emma's party," she whispers. I want to fold my sister into a hug, squeeze the sad out of her. Emma Michaels lives down the road. She's been Lauren's best friend since preschool. But Lauren isn't at Emma's 13th birthday sleepover right now because Keely March told Emma not to invite her. Keely is 13, like Lauren, but she fills out her leotards in a way that makes the dance dads want to wait in the car. I saw Keely in the parking lot over the summer when I went with my stepbrother, Andrew, to pick Lauren up from her Saturday morning class. Noticed the way Keely watched Andrew from the corner of her eye as she lifted her leg onto the ramp railing in a perfect stretch. Sweat glistening between cleavage that even I didn't have. It was sweltering out. Keely was 12 going on 20, staring at a 17-year-old boy like he was a popsicle. "They're drinking wine coolers," Lauren says. "That's why I wasn't invited." I think of the American Girl dolls still set up in Lauren's room, arranged around a tea set like they're waiting for a party that's never going to happen. I know she won't play with them because the girls at school have already packed theirs up and put them in the attic. Those girls are 13 and drinking. I should call Emma's house and tell her mother what's going on in that bedroom. Then I remember the things that went on in my house when I was 13. Do you want me to block Keeley's number from your phone? I ask Lauren. She shakes her head, sending a tear down her cheek. I just really wish I was there. I'm about to tell her, fuck Keeley March and those other dumb girls, you have me, when headlights flash through my bedroom window. My room faces Sparrow Road, the outer edge of our cul-de-sac. It's what Bailey and Jade branded the perfect loading spot for a sneak out. And it seems that despite my texts, they came anyway. Bailey flashes her high beams, then there's darkness. Lauren frowns. Who's that? Just Bailey and Jade, I answer, fumbling for my phone. I'll tell them Lauren is awake. I definitely can't come out now. Are you guys going somewhere? I hear the hopeful lilt in her voice. No, we were just... Snow crunching outside my window. Bailey's face, illuminated by the light from the phone under her chin. She makes a ghost-like wah-ha-ha-ha noise, and I jump, even though I'm looking right at her. Jade appears next to her, adjusts the messy bun sitting atop her head and taps on my window with one finger. I dart over and raise the glass. Bailey mashes her face against the screen, makes a pig nose. Ready to go? She whispers. I cringe. Even when Bailey whispers, she's loud. I think of nosy Mrs. Lau next door, probably perched in the armchair by her living room window with a Sudoku book. A small wooded clearing separates us from the Laus, but in the winter, when the trees are bare, the slightest noise from our house is enough to send Mrs. Lau's Yorkie, Jerome, into a barking fit. Jade notices Lauren sitting on my bed before Bailey does. She nudges Bailey and flicks her eyes to me as if to say, what the hell is she doing here? She came down here because she was upset and couldn't sleep. I steal a glance back at Lauren. She's picking at the pills on her fleece pants, but beneath her bangs, her eyes are on us. Can we just go another night? I whisper. No, Jade says. Put your pants on. Live a little. She wiggles her eyebrows at me and grins. But when I look at Bailey, she's not smiling. I could swear that there's a hint of fear in her face, and for a second, I think I'm off the hook. Then, I have all the stuff. Don't wimp out, Casey. Wimp out? I never agreed to this thing in the first place. Bailey's eyes are focused on me, daring me to say no. Her message is clear. If I come out tonight, I'm forgiven for all those times I stayed home. Across the street, there's faint yelping. Jerome. Mrs. Lau must have let him out to pee. I turn to Lauren. We're just going out for a bit, okay? Please don't tell your mom. You can stay in here, okay? She looks down at her toes. I won't. A bubble of relief. I exhale. Pull jeans on over my fleece PJ pants and throw on the jacket I left draped over my desk chair. The relief doesn't last long when I see Lauren's face. Crushed. She gives me a half-hearted wave as I pop out my screen and climb up on my windowsill and awkwardly out the other side into the cold night air. I pull the window down behind me, feeling like the shittiest person ever, but I have to get rid of my friends before they wake my stepmom up and everything goes to hell. When I'm tucked in the back of Bailey's Honda Civic, balled up Taco Bell wrappers under my butt as I fumble for the seatbelt, Jade says, "Is she gonna rat us out?" "She won't," I say. Bailey looks over her shoulder as she pulls away from the curb, turns front, and slams on the brakes, letting out a little yelp. Lauren is standing in front of the car, her body illuminated by Bailey's headlights. I nearly slide off my seat. She's wearing her purple down jacket and she's waving for us to stop.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?